Welcome to another Carlin Lloyd Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Got a special guest.
We do have a special guest. We've had this special guest before.
Have we had you before, Trey?
Have we spoken to you before?
I don't think we have.
Oh, did we try to get him before?
Yes.
I have memories of speaking to him before. It could be when I was teaching him that.
Now, Trent O'Brien. Now, I've known Trent for, well, generations.
Since he was only 2 metres tall when he was, what, three or four?
Now, I knew his dad, Dave, when Dave was, like, 2 years old, because his dad, Barry O'Brien, like your grandfather, I've known him for over 50 years.
So you always tell me you're a young fella, but this story doesn't add up if you know all these people from a long time ago.
Yeah. What's going on there?
Well, you're such a gentleman when in the room with me because I'm about the only person older than you that you know, aren't I?
Yeah, I try to stay away from old people.
All right, Trent, now tell us a little bit about your journey. You're going to represent Australia at the Under-20 Volleyball Championship. Tell us a little bit, one, about your journey in volleyball because I know you started off as a baseballer.
Yeah, so I, growing up, I played many different sports, never really found one that I was either really passionate about or clicked with. Like, I played baseball for a long time because, yeah, my father was a baseballer. And Sassy came around to the school and tested your height, weight, wingspan, and a few other attributes and to pick you up for sports like cycling, volleyball, rowing that aren't that big. And, yeah, they thought that I would have been a good volleyballer. So I started there in year 9, I believe. And, yeah, since then I've just been slowly progressing up through the age groups, a couple of years in juniors, going to seniors. And then, this year I finally made an Australian team, which happened actually before I made my first state team, which was really cool. So, yeah.
Well, firstly, congratulations on making the Australian team because I know that's something you've been – looking to do for the last probably 2 or 3 years, and you became part of that sort of junior squad moving forward. So what does that mean now? Where's that going to take you, being part of this Australian junior team?
So this team is just for a championships. It's the Asian Junior Championships in Bahrain. But not only is it that, it gets you on the radar of all the coaches. So they'll be able to see you. They know you now. I've talked at the training camp. I was talking to the men's senior coach. The junior coaches are also around with that group. So it gets you out there and your name out there so that people know you for further on. Maybe the men's team need another one of my position there and I can be the one called on potentially.
Now, you in Bahrain, you'll be playing Japan and Bangladesh and Iraq. Tell us about, have you seen any of these countries before?
Well, because of COVID as well, there are not many teams with international experience. And our team, like personally, the 12 of us going away, not a single player has had international experience. So we've never seen any of these teams. So we don't know how good they are. We're only going off how good they are from their men's team. So Bangladesh's men's team is not that flash. Not that Australia's is, but we are thinking that Bangladesh is a very winnable game going off their men's team. But they could have some juniors coming up that are the best players in the world and we'd have absolutely no idea. Same with all of these countries.
Now, with volleyball, can you just sort of tell us what are some of the skills that you have that make you such a good volleyballer? I know there's spiking and serving and blocking. What are the attributes and what are your best attributes?
So for my position, I play a middle blocker. So I'm only ever in the front court, and which means basically you need to be tall. Like to be a good volleyball, you need to be tall because when you're short, you get caught out with blocking because people can just hit over the top of your block. Because everybody jumps high. That's another one. You've got to be able to jump as well. But for me personally, I can read the play well, I've found. So, like, my position needs to be able to go back and forth and be able to block a lot. And because I'm tall and I've got a half-decent jump, that's why I've been as successful as I have been.
Now, once you come back from your trip to Bahrain, you're going to jump on a plane and head to Canada. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I get back on after 2 weeks of tournament, however many games we play, depends on how far we get. I'll come back on the 1st of September and I will leave the next day to head off to Canada with a scholarship that I've got at Nipissing University. So I've managed to land a scholarship over there which will carry me on for a few years, finishing my degree, and I'll play over there, play for their team, and hopefully we can win some state championships and potentially national.
How many games a year will you be playing at uni, and how much travelling is involved with volleyball in the 3 or 4 years you'll be there?
So there, last year they had a reduced schedule, about 12 because of, again, COVID. But this year we're playing 20 matches. I think it's about 10 to 12 weeks, two matches a week, Friday, Saturday. And I'm in the OUA, which is the Ontario University League. And so we travel all around Ontario, which is Toronto and all around there. But some of the other leagues, Canada West is the other one, they travel over 4 or 5 states to go to their different universities. So they'll fly where we'll bus to the different areas.
And course-wise, you were just saying before we got on air that it surprised me a bit that you're studying geology.
Yeah, geology. It's sort of something that never really did in high school or had much pre-learning to it. But as soon as I started doing it last year at university, I fell in love with it and just thought this is something that I find really interesting, and it's got plenty of job opportunities, especially here in Australia and even in Canada.
So what type of job might you be looking for once you finish college?
Well, hopefully I had a professional volleyball, go and play in Europe and get paid to play. But if that doesn't work out, then something in the mines maybe. I'm not exactly sure where I want to go, but there is plenty of opportunities around.
So we've just watched Commonwealth Games, and of course beach volleyball is in Commonwealth Games. Do you get asked about that a lot? Like this, like Olympics beach volleyball and volleyball, and then Commonwealth Games just having the beach volleyball. Is there any time that you thought about, is that something that players can switch in and out of, or is it just one avenue or the other?
As a junior, I've played both, and as a junior, Volleyball SA, and I know Volleyball Australia as well, really push for people to do both, because Australia has in general been better at beach than they are at indoor, with Maria Faye and Talico getting silver at the Olympics. Like that's huge for the sport in general, just to get some recognition, and then winning gold at the Commonwealth and silver again for the girls. But as soon as you start moving up in the levels, like I've got a couple teammates from last year that have moved into the developing beach volley roos, so they're like 2 or 3 away from being in the national team. That's when you start having to, okay, beach volleyball's my sport, I can't play indoor volleyball. So, and that's the same with indoor as well. Not as much indoor, you can still travel and go beach, but in the beach, when they get to that higher level, your sole focus is beach. And like the men's team don't really, when you're in the men's indoor team, you're not doing beach because you're indoor all year round playing all over the world.
It's funny how so many sports do that. They change. Like volleyball have 6 players and beach volleyball have 2, and you see it. Basketball now, they've got the 3-a-side basketball, obviously 2020 cricket. All these sports sort of have minimised playing personnel. But it's funny because I remember at the 2000 Olympics, I went and watched volleyball, like indoor real volleyball 6-a-side, and it was a fantastic game because I used to play volleyball myself. But everyone, when I say to them I saw volleyball, they say, oh, which beach was it on?
Yeah, it's a lot of, because beach volleyball is obviously a much more popular sport. Like a lot of people know it. You see a beach volleyball court set up on the beach at, you know, Grange, Henley, almost everywhere you go. And that's what people, so that's the idea of volleyball that people get in their head. They might only do indoor volleyball for once or twice at school in PE, and that's about it. Like, that's all they see. So it's, I understand where they come from, because that's really the only exposure that they get is the beach volleyball.
But technically, volleyball, indoor volleyball, 6-a-side volleyball, it's technically a much harder game than playing the beach volleyball, because beach volleyball sort of, it's almost like a different dynamic, isn't it?
Depends on who you ask. A beach volleyball, say theirs is much harder. Theirs, I think personally, I think beach volleyball is a much more tactical game. You've got to be smarter with your shots, because there is less court to hit on, but there is only one defender. Indoor volleyball is all about who can hit the ball the hardest and in the best spot. It's all about power.
I was going to say, because indoor volleyball, we don't get to see much of at all, apart from Olympics probably. But it's such an exciting game. Like when you're watching high-level volleyball, it is an exciting game. There's a lot going on. You've got players moving. I mean, we play our school volleyball, which is very sedate. But when you're watching top-level volleyball, it's just there's people moving in all directions. There's people doing their fake spikes. There's like, and the hits that come out of some of those sets are unbelievable, the speed of the ball. But it is an exciting sport at a high level.
Absolutely. It's fast-paced where people just don't understand how fast it can actually get. Like, balls are being hit. I know personally I got to about 95 kilometres an hour with one of mine, but at the top level they're coming at about 120. They're coming at 120 at these players that are sitting behind them and getting ready to dig it and just with no fear. It's a pretty impressive sort of sport and speed that it's played at.
So that's the thing you've got. Someone's jumping up above the net. What's the net, 240 or something?
Yeah, something around that.
And hitting that ball at 100 kilometres an hour and you're sitting 3-4 metres away.
Yeah, exactly. Ready to dig it.
And they do, and then they dig it and it's up in the air for the setter to come under and off they go again and someone else has a crack at it.
Exactly right, yeah.
You know, having played volleyball, you get an understanding of the game and a better appreciation, whereas I think volleyball's a harder game to watch if you don't understand the game.
Yes, in a way, but I think also it is impressive to see some of the athleticism that some of the players have. Because like these guys are jumping at a meter every single time the ball goes over the net, and it is hard to understand the different tactics. There's a lot going on. There's players coming on and off the court and calls that aren't usually, you don't really know what's happened. It's not obvious why they've lost the point, but they have.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think people, as you said, are used to playing a bit of volleyball at school, which is very basic and sedate. And we sort of have our six positions and we rotate and you sort of stay in your spot. But, of course, top-level volleyball, you've got players, as you say, you're a front court specialist, you've got your back court specialist, people rotating on and off. So it does get I love watching it, but I don't get to watch it very often.
Yeah, and that's the problem. That's the problem with the sport. It's not big enough to make telly, and then as soon as it's not big enough to make telly, where are people going to see it? It's not like the beach where you can just see people. You know, you go down to Glenelg Beach on a Saturday and there might be a beach volleyball on. You never get to see the indoor scene unless it's the Olympics.
One of the things for beginners in volleyball and people that aren't sort of at the higher level, they have a lot of trouble with the overhead serve, so they tend to just almost handball like a footy handball. How did your serving develop, like when you started compared to what you do now?
Yeah, volleyball's it's a sort of a sport you can't start too young because you've got to have a fair bit of coordination. But serving it's one of the skills least taught. It's sort of you're on your own, figure out how to serve. But it's one of the most important skills in the game because if you serve out to start the point, there is not even a chance you're going to win the point. It's already point over. But then you can't serve too soft because then they'll win it straight back at you. But, yeah, over the years I sort of you learn what works for you and what doesn't, what technique you should use. You incorporate what you do on your spike and, yeah, you just get better and better and you start jumping and you start floating and, yeah, it's – Yeah.
Have they changed the point system? When I played back in the 80s, it went to 15 points, and if it was 15, 14, whatever, you just kept going to 2 points. So 15 was the point schedule, best out of five. How do they play it nowadays?
So I think a while ago they used to play you had to be serving to win points. That changed way before I was in the sport, probably before I was born, really. But now it's first to 25, best of five sets, but if it's 2-0 in the fifth set, it's best of 15, and you can win points at any point. You don't have to be serving or receiving.
That's the big change, is that you can now win the point any time during the rally, which before the serving team had that advantage, whereas now they don't. So getting that serve right is really important.
Yeah, absolutely, and it shortens games because – you know, you could have a game that goes for 5 hours and still be 2-2 in theory. If you've got two teams that are really good at siding out, it's called, like winning off of their serve, then the game can just go on forever.
Yeah, I remember when I was playing back in the 80s, and I was playing like B grade, C grade, not high level. And I remember we were in the grand final. We lost the first two sets, like 15-1, 15-2. And that's when you only got points on serving. And then we fought back and we actually won. But I think the fifth set, we won like 20-18 or something. And we were on court for almost 3 hours.
Yeah, that's a foreign feeling. It's the longer it can go really long because again you got to win by 2 points. But the longest a game will go for a five setter is around 2 hours. It just depends how high level it is, because usually the higher you get, the more powerful the players get, and the more often, the quicker you win points. Really, it's the ball comes over once and you win the point the next shot. So yeah, 2 hours is about the max for a game.
Well, thank you very much, Trent. We'll, when you come back, I'm sure we'll have you on again. Sony's another
club. Can I just say before you close, I just want to say congratulations, mate. We're really proud of you. Like, it's been great to watch you over the last, you know, time at school, working really hard to make it this level, and you're now there. So you've made your Australian team. You're off to college, and we're really proud of you. And it's the world's open to you now. So have fun, mate.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been a bit of a journey, and I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
So it's another Card Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.